Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody. Today we are starting a new series for the month of October, looking at thankfulness and stewardship. Now, a lot of times when we talk about stewardship, it always causes somebody or some people to stew. Okay, and that's why it's called taking the stew out of stewardship, because a lot of times people just get nervous when the pastor starts talking about stewardship. It's like, oh boy, the pastor's going to have a whole series about how much money we got to give this month. Okay, now, one thing that I'm going to tell you right off the bat, one of the subjects I hate to talk about is money. Okay? Stewardship is more than just talking about how much we're doing with money or what we're doing with money. Now, there is part of that giving an offering. That's going to come later on. Stewardship is not just about how much money somebody gave. Okay, so I just want you to understand that. That's why we're taking the stew out of stewardship and trying to understand, I'm going to kick that thing over pretty soon, trying to understand just exactly what stewardship with everything that we've been given is truly about. So today is removing the stew from stewardship is the beginning of the series, or is the series. Today we're starting off with, if I could save time in a bottle. Who remembers the song? We're not singing it. Okay, but just keep that in the back of your minds. I thought about it. I thought, I don't know how people would go with that. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but think about it. If I could save time in a bottle, what would you do? What time period would you save? Okay, so let's stand together, and we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
We all know the saying. We probably have said it many times in our life. We've heard it. We've said it over and over. Time sure flies when you're having fun. That's right. We're having fun today. So that means I've got, even with the time change now, I've still got an hour to go. In fact, as I look back on times when I wasn't so sure, if time had not actually stopped. Have you ever had those times like when you were at work or when you're doing something that, you know, doesn't seem like it was so fun? Griffin, you're in school. Does sometimes school seem like it's taking, instead of 8 hours of school, seems like it's taking all week just to get through one day? Okay. How many of us have at times at work thought the same thing? It's just dragging by. But then you got through the day, or later on you look back and you thought, well, you know what, it seemed like it was dragging by then, but it sure has flown by now when you look back at time. How many times have we asked ourselves, where has the time gone? Okay, especially you older people. It sure seems like it does fly by. You know, it's almost been a year. Matter of fact, in 3 weeks, I think it is, it'll be the first time that Lori and I came here to visit. It was the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So if I got my calendar right, this is the first one. Yeah, so anyway. Okay, so that we are actually here the first time. We've been here now 7 months. Thank you. I don't know how to take that. Wow. No, just kidding. And we've enjoyed it. We love being here. But, you know, it just seems like it's hard to believe that 7 months already that we've been here and put up with you people. No. No, you're putting up with me especially. For the next few weeks, we're going to be, as I said, looking at stewardship. And I don't want us to look at that word stewardship and say, and just cringe. Because sometimes we can do that when we don't understand what stewardship is. It can cause us to get nervous about where's the preacher going with this or what's he going to do. The fact that we get all stewy about stewardship shows actually how much we misunderstand the importance of what stewardship is and the importance of it and the importance of it, especially for our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. So we're going today begin by talking about how we are handling something, especially in our stewardship, and that is time. The time has given us to use for him. So Mike, first, as we start this off, we read our scripture. So if I was to ask you, where do we get time? And when I ask that question, I don't say, where do we get time to do things? Because sometimes we ask ourselves, where do I find time to fit this into my schedule? Where am I going to find time to fit that in my schedule? And that's not where we're starting off. We'll get there, but don't jump ahead of me. Okay, stay where I'm at. Okay, where do we get time? Today, daylight savings time ended. We went back to the standard time. And I know through the years there's been, do we stay on daylight? Do we stay on standard? What are we going to do? I wish we just pick and choose and just stay on one. But daylight savings time was first used in 1906 in Thunder Bay, Canada. Now, a lot of people think that it started during World War I. Actually, it started way before then in Canada. Canada then started using it in different territories. And then in 1916, during World War II, Germany and Austria began using the system first to kind of minimize the usage of artificial lighting to save on fuel. In 1918, right before the war ended, the United States followed suit and tried to do the same thing. Now, although the rationale behind it has been proven to help somewhat in what their goal was, kind of modestly, one thing is kind of stand out to me. Something that I never really truly thought until I was working on this series, and I don't know if I told you, I'm not saying this to brag, but when I work on a series, I work on it a couple months ahead of time. Okay, so one thing for the last couple months that kind of hit me, the Lord speaking to me, I think, in our field, is this. What gives us the right to think that we can control time? Now, I'm not saying anything against daylight savings time. I actually love daylight savings time. And I'm going to know you're going to think I'm weird. I actually like falling back. Not just because I get an hour of sleep that one day. I actually like when it gets dark early. I know I'm weird. Okay? You don't have to tell me that. But why do we think that we can control time? I think of that because we don't really truly understand where it comes from. I mean, we like to control time even on the things we do. Like I just made the comment, we like to say, okay, what can I fit into my in my time slots? What can I do this? I like to control. How many of us have a daily planner? How many of us still have the written out daily planner? Wow, you guys are ancient. I still got it too, but that's okay. How many on your phones have the daily planner on your phone? How many of you have an alarm clock that's going to go off every time you got to be someplace? I should have known, Don. Okay. All right. So you see what I'm saying? It's one thing to plan it out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's good to be planned out. We're going to be talking about that. But sometimes we like to take and try to control what we're going to be doing or how much time we're going to have. Genesis 1:3 says this. We've said before, you know, go back to Genesis. And I warned you this right from the beginning. That I'll go back to Genesis a lot. And I'll be reading the same verses every once in a while. Over and over and over and over to drive home a point. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Follow, okay? And God saw that the light was. God divided the light from the. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. The invention of time. Or the creation of time. Before that, there was no such thing. God does not look at time the way we do it. Okay? Peter talks about in his book about one day being as if there were 1,000 years to God. That doesn't mean that they're equal. That's not what he was saying. He was simply just saying God doesn't look at time the way we do. But because we're not exactly God, we don't understand a lot of things. He gave us a time, or invented time, or created time, I should say, excuse me, to help us function. He gave us a literal 24-hour day. God does not measure it like we do, so he decided to help us in that area. In looking at our stewardship of time, we need to understand that God is the owner of time. He created it. He owns it. We have simply been given borrowed time. We are the stewards of what he has given us. You know, we talk about a lot of times how God has given us everything. You know, the clothes on our back, the money we make, and just different things, which includes that we are to be accountable for the time that he has given us, the time that he has blessed us with. And God has given us an equal amount of time. I'm not talking about years, how somebody may live. We all know that could be different. But we all are given, unless something tragedy happens, we are all given how many hours in a day? 24. So barring any tragedy, barring anything, you know, that takes place on a certain day, barring that the Lord returns, we may not all have an equal amount of years, but we have all been given 24 hours. We all have different talents, but we all have the same amount of time. Now, don't get ahead of me. Don't start thinking about how am I using time, because we're not there yet. What we're centering on now is where time came from, where how it started. So, like I say, don't jump ahead of me yet. No matter how rich a person may be, they cannot buy more time. They can't buy an extra hour and get 25. Okay, no matter how rich a person may be. No matter how poor a person may be, doesn't mean that they're shorted an hour. They can't go, you know, they can't have an hour taken away from them and say, well, you only get 23 today. Every one of us has 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, we understand that point. We understand that point. Okay, all right. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus said those words. I'll read them again for us. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. In other words, while I have time, the night is coming when no one can work. In other words, there is a time coming when work will cease, when the thing that we've been called to do will stop. Jesus said these words right before he spat into some dirt and put it on a guy's eyes who was born blind. And the disciples had asked him, okay, who sinned? Did the guy somehow sin while he's in the womb, or did his parents sin? Because it was a common thought that if you had something like that take place, especially if you were born that way, somehow you sinned or someone in your family sinned. We don't have time to get into that whole thing because it could be possible, but Jesus tells them, you know what? Nobody did anything wrong. God had called me to, at one point, to heal this man. So in other words, what he was saying, he said, God caused this man to be born blind so that my glory could be seen to God. God's glory could be seen through Christ. Okay? Now, sometimes we don't like that, but what Jesus was simply saying, it's my time to heal this man. It's what I've been called to do at that point. There will be a time when we are no longer able to work or do what God has given us the ability to do, or the work that he's called us to. Until then, we need to understand that we need to take hold of the time that we have been given and be good stewards with it. We have to remember that time is a gift that comes from God. So now that we understand exactly where time goes, you know, we say, well, Pastor Brian, I kind of knew God kind of invented time. But, you know, sometimes we just need a little extra re-encouragement or just to remind ourselves of that. So now let me ask us this question. How are we using God's gift of time? How are we using God's gift of time? In just a few short weeks, I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, but it's going to be after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. Thank you. Okay. How many of you have begun your Christmas shopping? How many of you have, you know, halfway through your Christmas shopping? How many of you have you finished your Christmas shopping? Terry, you didn't even start. How can you be? Oh, okay. Okay. How many of you are thinking about starting your Christmas shopping? How many of you have lists on what you want for Christmas? Okay, actually, I thought it was going to be more hands. I was going to try to go somewhere, but okay, that's it. Suppose for a moment, you know, on Christmas Day, someone gives you a gift that is something really, really great that not only was it a nice gift, but it's something you can actually use. It's something practical, you know, that you could use. A George Foreman grill. Remember those? They sat on your countertop and everything, all right? How many of you still have one, just out of curiosity? I knew it. I love them, by the way. So let's just say it's a George Foreman grill. I mean, this thing could cook anything. Hamburgers, pork chops, fish, veggies. I mean, I think it could even cook a 100-pound roast if you wanted to. All right? So, well, maybe that's a little exaggeration. My wife's shaking her head at me. Okay, so we get this gift, whatever it may be. It's very practical, something that we could use. It's going to, you know, change our revolutionize the way we cook food, and it's just going to improve our lives so dramatically. We get it. We take it home Christmas because we've been somebody else's house. We unwrap it. You know, we take everything out of it. We read the directions. We put it on the counter. We go and buy the food that we want, that 100-pound roast or that steak that we get at Moequa Packing Plant, and we fry that steak up in a skillet. Unfortunately, that's a lot of times what we do with what we've been given in the gift of time. We've been given this special blessing, and sometimes we don't use it. Unfortunately, I said that's what happens. Now again, don't get ahead of me. I'm not talking about what we're doing with as far as the gifts. We're just simply talking about what we're doing with the time right now. We have a choice to make on how we're going to use the gift of time and be good stewards. We're not necessarily talking about the acts yet. We're just talking about, you know, having a game plan about what it is that we're going to do with time. And unfortunately, we use sometimes time in the wrong way. using time in a wrong way. So we're going to look at some different ways, on ways that we accidentally, or just, you know, we just simply use time in a wrong way. Okay, I'm ready for this slide to switch there, Griffin. Thank you. So how are we using time in a wrong way? Number one, we often wish away our gift of time. Sometimes we wish away our gift of time. Have you ever had an event coming up? It's Friday, okay? Not only is it going to be the end of the work week for some of us, okay? We got something greatly planned for Friday. I don't know, we're taking or going to some concert. I don't care what it is. You know, you put it, whatever it is that you want. You got this great event taking place on Friday. You're just so overjoyed. You can't wait to get to Friday. And it's only Monday. And you said, man, I wish it was Friday. Just skip over Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let me get to Friday. Now, we understand that just simply because we wish for it to be Friday is not going to make it be Friday. We get that. But how often have we taken and just focused on what Friday is going to be like, and we didn't look at what we could be doing on Monday afternoon or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? Our main goal for the whole week was just simply focusing on what was going to happen, hopefully, on Friday. Any Star Wars fans out here today? Okay. The Empire Strikes Back. I almost said Return of the Jedi. Nobody would know what I'm talking about then. Okay, Empire Strikes Back. Luke meets Yoda. Yeah, Yoda. I make sure I get the right guy here. All right, Yoda is kind of having this conversation with Obi-Wan. Those that don't know Star Wars, just put up with me for a minute. All right, and Yoda is kind of having this conversation with Obi-Wan. He's talking about how Luke gets distracted and how he's like this and whatever. And he makes a comment that Luke never has his mind looking at where he is at the present time. He's always looking about where he's going to be doing in coming up and just everything. And unfortunately, that's what we do. We don't look at where we're at, what's taking place around us at that moment. We wish we were someplace else. We wish we were next Friday. You know, kids just starting off, and there's a difference from wishing you could retire to preparing for it. Okay? But yeah, we wish our lives away. And we also wish time away by dwelling on the past. How many of us have taken and said, man, if I could just go back to high school? I loved high school. I've had people come out and tell me, you're weird that they didn't like high school. I loved high school. I'm not saying I was any angel in high school. I'm not saying I was any good at high school. Okay? In high school, I had this attitude. If I passed, I didn't care. Okay? Well, I'm not saying that's good, Griffin. So, you know, hang on. All right? Or where's the other little one? Okay, anybody else that's in school? Okay, that's not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's the way it was. But I loved high school. And there's been times when you thought, oh, man, if I could go back and do some things that maybe I shouldn't have been doing, okay, but just simply had a good time in high school, just doing good things or whatever. I wish I could, but sometimes we just simply dwell on the past, especially when it's somebody that's hurt us. Because when we dwell on it, what do? And it does what? Eats at our heart. Eats at our mind, eats at our heart, and we don't focus on who? Christ. We don't focus on the loved ones who's around us. We don't focus on how we could better ourselves or whatever, or just simply the fact that we could even be having a good time, and all of a sudden we just start remembering this person, what they did, and we just start battling with ourselves. And I know it's hard. I'm not at all trying to say, be up here and say I'm a saint at this or anything, or that's easy to get rid of. I'm not saying that. I'm saying sometimes we need to work on it. The second way we use time wrong, we are often careless with our time. We are careless with our time. Too often we waste the time that God has given us to accomplish something for him. Now, I'm not talking about going home today and it would be wrong to take a Sunday afternoon nap. I love Sunday afternoon naps. I love Monday afternoon naps. I love Tuesday afternoon naps. God gave us naps for a reason, okay? I'm not talking about something like that. I'm not talking about getting together with friends and family just to have a good time. I think it's wonderfully great, hope that made sense, for Christian brothers and sisters to get together and just simply have fun. I truly believe that's okay. There doesn't have to be something overly, what we want to call spiritual about. Now, there are times to be that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say just to get rid of those times. That's not what I'm saying. Or to overlook those times. That's one of the things that I like, Craig, with your movie nights. Yeah, we have that spiritual devotion before and everything, but it's also simply just having fun with one another, enjoying a good movie. Christmas parties. I loved when I was a kid and we had church Christmas parties. Okay, and it was simply, yeah, we talked about the Christmas story, obviously, but it was also a time of simply just having fun. I truly feel it's fine, and actually God's will for us just to simply get time together and spend time having fun, joking around. There's nothing wrong with taking time to just simply veg out, reading a book, or watching a television show, or whatever. Or as Lori puts it, putzing around the house all day long. You know, not nothing, you know, a couple different goals you might have, but just simply putzing around the house doing whatever. What I am talking about is being careless with the opportunities that God gives us. I talked a little bit about this Friday night, and you're going to think I'm being weird, bringing it up here in church. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Anybody ever, do you remember the movie? Okay, you remember? Anybody else? Okay, there. Thank you for raising your hands. I was scared there for a moment. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Steve Martin and John Candy. Okay, Steve Martin's character is kind of a cynical guy. John Candy's kind of this lovable guy that's kind of over the top. Okay? So they kind of meet up, and Steve Martin is doing his best to get away from him. And it never kind of works out that way. Every time he thinks he's gotten away from him, John Candy's character shows back up. They get to know each other a little bit. And pretty soon, Steve Martin's character starts to understand this guy a little bit. And pretty soon he finds out his story. You don't have time to go into it about his wife dying and so forth. And sometimes we take and we ignore those opportunities that we have just as simply to be friendly with somebody. Just simply to do something like that. Sometimes we just simply misuse God's timing that he had us to be where we were for a certain reason. Number three, we fill our lives with time-consuming activities. We fill our lives with time-consuming activities. We have so many so-called time-saving devices in our life today. Who remembers a time before we actually had a computer in our house? Okay? How many of you remember before when a computer didn't even fit in one room? Okay? Now we have a computer in the palm of our hand. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that. But a lot of these devices thought up and invented and everything to do what? To make our life easier. And in some ways they have, but then we've also gone and filled our lives with busyness. Not even maybe but simply just being busy. Busy, 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 busy. We constantly talk about how we do not have any time to get things done. Or that we're running here, we're running there, we're running here, we're running there. And we've gone and filled our lives with simply busyness. And there's a difference from doing something constructive and just simply busyness. When we're doing this, this, and this, and this, and this, and we're not focusing on this or anything one particular, and we're just getting little bits here, here, and here done, we're not making a dramatic impression. The churches also sometimes can get caught up in this, like in mission work. This is kind of, I'm not saying us, I'm just saying it can happen, where they've got 400 missions that they're talking about or doing or trying to help support, and they can only send $10 to each one. That's not really helping out either any of them. And sometimes we can, the same concept can come to us in time. We're busy doing this, we're busy doing this, we're busy doing this, we're busy doing this, and we're not making the impact that God wanted us to in certain areas because we're simply just being busy. We're simply just being busy. In a recent Lifeway research about why people are either not going to church as often as what they used to, the number one reason was simply because they fell out of habit. And it wasn't because they, they started falling asleep or oversleeping here, and they started oversleeping here, and they missed one Sunday. It wasn't like that. It was simply they just went and put too much stuff in their lives. Too much busyness. The number one reason why people have fallen out of church. Started with this Sunday here. Maybe a Sunday over here. Now, I'm not talking about vacations and stuff like that and special things. I'm just talking about just this, this, and this. Pretty soon it was two Sundays in a row. Pretty soon it was three Sundays in a row. Pretty soon it was maybe been 4 or 5 months, a year since they've been in church because they had something else to do every Sunday. It always started out with one thing. Okay, so they got themselves busy. So how do we use time in a right way? Using time in a right way. In the NIV, verses 15 and 16 read like this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So four things to help us to make the most of our time, to be good stewards and the opportunities. I'm going to make it quick so we can, get time to get out of here. Okay. Determine our priorities. Determine our priorities. No matter who we think we are, what we think of ourselves, we cannot do everything. It's hard to even participate in everything. That's one of the things I told Craig. I love the movie nights. I remember telling Craig, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember it, so I'm just saying it happened. But I remember telling Craig, you know what, there's going to be some times where we may not be there on a Saturday night movie night. Because maybe we need time to do something together. And that's perfectly okay for people to do that. Okay? So we look at our priorities. No matter who we are, we cannot do everything. We're not called necessarily to participate in everything or to be in charge of everything. Because when we get like that, something will suffer in our life. Something, at least one thing, no, usually multiple things, will suffer when we don't have priorities, when we're trying to be involved in every single thing or be in charge of every single thing or whatever. Whether it's our own health, our relationships or whatever, or even the way that we're doing things and the effectiveness of it, they will suffer. Remember Mary and Martha? Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was what? Busy over here. She was trying to do good things. I'm not trying to knock Martha, but she was trying to do good things. Mary was what? Paying attention to what Jesus was teaching. And so many times, so many people are trying to be good things and do a lot of things, here and there, and trying to help people out and do things in the church and everything. They miss out on the blessings that they could have just simply by taking time for their own spiritual growth, their own spiritual life. Because we get confused. And I'll be the first to admit, I'll raise my hand on that. My wife is going like this. Especially when I was on the fire and ambulance when we were up at Walnut. Because I was almost on almost every single call that we had. And I think the other ones could do it, but I just wanted to be there. I wanted to help people. And pretty soon, I burned myself out. I was tired. I wanted to be there for every single thing for people of the church. And I can't be there and have all the answers. And that's tough. Okay? when you don't have the answers. And it's not just pastors, but it's everybody. When we go and do things like this, when we don't use our time, we don't have priorities and, you know, decide what has to be done in an order or whatever, we face burnout. Last year, 1,300 pastors left the pulpit every month. Every month. That was after COVID. That doesn't talk about what they went through in COVID. 1,300 left, simply just walked out. I don't mean just walked out, but left the ministry. The number one reason? Burnout. Burnout. And it doesn't just happen to pastors. It can happen to any of us when we don't have priorities, when we're trying to do everything. We need to change pace in our activities. Change pace in our activities. Busyness does not equal godliness. We read of many times when Jesus told his disciples, you guys go here, I'm going over here, I'm going to spend time with who? God the Father. We prayed to God the Father. When Jesus was getting ready to be tempted, was he with his disciples? Well, no, he didn't have them yet, but that's besides the point. Okay? He took time to what? To be alone. He took time to be alone. In Mark 6:31, we read of at least one time, or one of the times, when Jesus told his disciples, go do the very same thing. Go take time for just yourselves. Be alone, do things with your family. Go away. Get away from everything. As a matter of fact, it says, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. And that rest a while doesn't mean just for an hour or maybe two or even a day. I think it meant rest. Take some time off. Because Jesus recognized when they were getting tired or when they needed a break. I believe this is call to the rest of us, and not just a call for, like I said, just an hour. I think sometimes we need to simply take a break. So many times we have convinced ourselves that as long as we are busy for God, then we must be okay. And that we can do it all. And that is not biblical. That is not biblical. And sooner or later, one way or another, whether we see it or whether we admit it or feel it, some way there will be a burnout. You know, I know a lot of people that are still busy doing things, but yet they're burned out. And you can see it in the way that they're doing things, in the results of things. Concentrate on the primary things. Concentrate on the primary things. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What will be added to us if we seek God first? Simply the basics of life. Our basic needs. Now, we don't have time to go back and read that whole thing, but he was talking about the people's basic needs. In other words, worry will be taken away when we simply seek God's kingdom first. When we seek God first. Our number one goal, our question we have to ask ourselves is this. What is my personal walk with Christ like right now? Am I just busy? Or do I have personal goals that I want in my spiritual walk? Am I taking time to be with Him? And number four, dedicate our time to God. Dedicate our time to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, everything we do, all the activities we are involved with, everything we use our abilities towards, our energy, is to be used to glorify God. How we use time is just as important. If we are filling time up without concentrating on His own time, to be on our own time to be with God, then we're missing out. And then three things. What happens when we use our time correctly? Three things that will happen. Number one, we will multiply ourselves in His service. In other words, they'll become more effective. Our service will become more effective. I'm not saying we do more things. I'm saying our service will be more effective when we use our time correctly for God. Two, or B on your list, we will advance the work of His kingdom. We will actually advance the work of His kingdom. You know, when I was on the fire department, each one of us had a job to do. If we would have ran around there trying, okay, I'm going to do this job that I'm supposed to do over here, but I'm going to do over here, everything would have been chaos. Everybody had their own job, they were assigned their own things to do. And sometimes we have to understand that. And when we worked together like that, we got the fire out. We will advance the kingdom of God when we do it, when we work like that. And number three, or C, we will bring glory to God. Being busy for God does not necessarily mean that we're bringing glory to God. We need to use our time to be effective. So, simple one last question. It's not on your list. You can write it down if you want. What's my stewardship of time like? What's our stewardship of time like? Lord Jesus, we do praise You. We thank You for being with us today. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for this message. We ask that You would just touch us. Touch our hearts. Help us to see where we need improvements. And work within us to do exactly what You've called us to. Be good stewards of the time that You have created and given to us. Amen.